Experience Sardin podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. As previously noted, thanks to the wonders of technology, we're able to keep the podcast rolling during this time of social distancing. I'm excited today to share an interview I recently recorded with my boss, Executive Director of Admissions, Donna Clark. Donna and I recently caught up to talk a little bit more about some of the updates we rolled out to the full-time MBA admissions process for round three in response to the coronavirus outbreak. So without further ado, here's my interview with Executive Director of Admissions, Donna Clark. Donna, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Brett. I'm delighted to be here talking with you about initiatives for round three.
Yeah, I should probably say welcome back to the podcast. I'll also note that you were our first Experience Sardin podcast guest, if memory serves.
Oh, wow. I wasn't aware of that, but I'll always happy to do podcasts with you.
As I mentioned, we're going to be talking a lot about our updates, the full-time MBA process for round three. Let's, before we get to those updates, though, talk a little bit more about round three. Obviously, we get questions from applicants all the time. Is it possible to be admitted in round three? Is there still scholarship money available? Is it too late? What would you tell folks thinking potentially about applying in round three about round three this year?
Great question. Well, at Darden, we have four rounds: early action, round one, round two, and round three. I think that we would not have a round if we didn't enable the admissions committee to make offers of admission during round three. I think round three will be even more utilized this year and possibly more sought after by prospective students in light of the coronavirus and changing circumstances. So yes, it is viable to receive an offer of admission last year and the year before. As long as I've been here, we have made offers of admission. It does tend to be a smaller round in terms of the applicant pool, so there aren't quite as many offers of admission, but that's in large part because it's a small applicant pool.
Now, I'm so glad you said that. We had an interview on the podcast earlier with Whitney Kessner a couple months ago about round three, and her advice, even back then, was if you're thinking about round three, go for it. Just put in an application. If you're admitted, you get to start school earlier, rather than waiting to next year to apply. And of course, if you're not admitted, you may, through the process of applying and maybe interviewing, be aware of ways that you can strengthen your application going forward if you decide to reapply. And of course, there's no harm in reapplying if you don't succeed on the first time submitting your application. Any thoughts on that, Donna?
Right. Well, I think different applicants are ready at different points in time. And some people may have been thinking about an MBA since last spring and may have used the summer to get ready for their early action applications. In light of changing circumstances in the world right now, there are many applicants out there or prospective students whose job situations may be tenuous, and perhaps an MBA is just crossing their mind for the first time. So that's why I like the breadth of the time frame in which an applicant can apply, everywhere from September 6th with early action, and now on the round three deadline is extended starting April 6th on a rolling basis until July 15th. So, all of us are ready for life changes at different times. Not everybody's on the same schedule. And so the round three is really helpful, I think, particularly this year, to applicants who may be considering an MBA a little bit later in the process than they typically would have had we not been dealing with, the economic ramifications of the global pandemic.
So you make a couple great points there, and it kind of leads me to my next question. I was going to sort of get into the updates, and for our listeners who haven't had a chance to check it out, I encourage you to check out the recent Poets and Quants story about the full-time admissions process updates that have been rolled out for round three. But let's talk a little bit more about the flexibility. That's sort of the thing that came through as I was reading them, is that, a lot of flexibility, a lot of trying to be responsive to where applicants are right now with what's going on in the world. Is that your feel for it?
Yes, Brett, a lot of the motivation in making the changes that we did make it was highly driven with the applicant in mind. A lot of applicants are in a situation in which test centers have been closed for the GRE and GMAT and continue to be closed for quite a while. I think they both just announced this week that they'll be opening some test availability, but we're trying to offer as much flexibility and pragmatism and compassion to applicants whose circumstances may change. I do anticipate that some people who are applying in round three have been planning for it, and maybe they've taken their GMAT and GRE, and there are others who unfortunately may have recently been furloughed or laid off or anticipate that there could be changes in their positions and are thinking about business school. So we want to be accommodating to both applicants who are prepared to apply in round three and others who may be thinking of it more recently. But yes, we're our team is, as you know, because you're such an important part of the team, is very applicant friendly and really try to do what is in the best interest of the applicant. And that is the big motivation for the changes that we just announced.
And as part of that, also opened up a bunch of conversation availability. That's one of the things I think we all enjoy on the team. We all got into admissions because we want to help applicants. We love working with them and supporting them as they take this step. And a whole bunch of conversation availability has been added over the past week or so, and with more to come. So great opportunity to connect with admissions committee members.
I agree. I just had, a couple yesterday and one today. And just to illustrate the point, and I'm not using names or anything, but there was an applicant who was a Peace Corps volunteer who was in a foreign country and had to get evacuated out very suddenly with very little notice due to the coronavirus. This is a person who was thinking about applying next year and fulfilling his second year of the Peace Corps, but due to the evacuation and sudden change in circumstances is expediting that application process and applying in round three, but just getting started. So I think this expanded deadline date of April 6th on a rolling basis to July 15th would be, really well received by people who are in that type of situation.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that, because I want to make sure that all of our listeners understand exactly what we mean by, deadline of April 6th, but rolling through 15 July. What does that mean to you, Donna? How do you think about that?
Oh, that's a great question, Brett. So I think that most applicants I would encourage most applicants to apply as early as you can, even if you can't submit all aspects of your application. We will read them in the order in which they're received. So if your application is ready to go by April 6th, I definitely go ahead and submit. Even if there are one or two elements missing, such as a letter of recommendation, or say an applicant is having a hard time getting a transcript, or wants to locate their SAT or ACT scores, or retake a GMAT or GRE, for example, you can submit that later, but we would love to start to review applications. We won't make a final decision until all of the elements of the application are final and are submitted. But basically, I would encourage people to apply on April 6th with as much as you have, and then submit the other elements after that. Now, if you're just getting started with the application process and there's no way you're going to be able to submit anything on April 6th, that's okay. You can apply later, and we will just review them in the order in which they're received all the way up until July 15th. So the very latest date somebody could apply would be July 15th. But I think most people are going to apply more in the April, May, June timeframe.
I was also struck a little bit as I was reading this about, again, trying to be sort of being flexible with, the idea in mind that perhaps some people just realized that maybe business school might make sense for them, or they were planning to take a test, but the test center that they were going to take the test at has closed and may reopen at a time in the future, but doesn't align as well with the application, their application plans. I was struck that there's other ways potentially as well that a candidate can show sort of quantitative ability or academic excellence. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked about that. I think our attitude on the admissions committee is that it is 2020, and in this day and age, there are multiple ways to show that you're academically qualified. So the process is very holistic. We're going to look at the quality of somebody's work experience or letters of a recommendation, an interview, extracurricular community involvement. But a component of the process, it also is this candidate academically qualified to succeed at Darden? And our philosophy about this, I think, is a little bit more progressive, that historically, I think schools tend to focus a little bit more on the GMAT and GRE or GMAT score. I think there are multiple ways to provide alternative evidence to prove that a candidate is academically qualified. So we have been test flexible for several years. A candidate can submit the GMAT or GRE, the MCAT or LSAT. That's particularly pertinent for our joint degree candidates who are thinking about a joint degree between Darden and the law school or Darden and the medical school. But because test centers have been closed and because some applicants' job situations have unfortunately changed, we wanted to provide as much flexibility and compassion for those people who need to make a quick turnaround and submit applications. So for the first time, we will accept SAT or ACT scores. I think this will be really helpful to people who recently decided to apply to business school and are unable to find a test center that's open by the April 6th deadline. Also, in this day and age, there's so many online classes, there are MOOCs, maybe somebody was an undergraduate business major, or maybe they weren't, maybe they were a liberal arts student who happened to take some business classes or relevant classes. Some applicants may have a CFA, some may have a CPA, some may have done HBX online. Those are just some of the examples of ways an applicant can show that they're academically qualified outside of strictly the undergraduate GPA and GMAT or GRE.
No, so obviously underscoring what we always say, that it's very much a holistic review.
Exactly. So, right, and I think we're just making them more, on the theme of it's a holistic review, I think we're just making the academic credentials more holistic as well. So traditionally, there has been a focus on GMAT, GRE, and SAT, GMAT, GRE, or undergraduate GPA, and now what we're signaling is that if you have alternative evidence that you can do well academically at Darden, including the nature of your job. Maybe you have a job that requires a lot of analysis or technical work or quantitative work. That would be a great thing to highlight in your application or to have your recommenders emphasize when they submit their letters of recommendation.
No, that's great. I think one of the things we get asked by prospective students all the time is what matters to the admissions committee when reviewing candidates' applications. And one of the challenging answers is it all matters. But also one of the great things about the application process at Darden is that we read everything you submit and we take interest in everything.
We do. And I also think that different applicants can stand out for different reasons. And I know you have such expertise in this, Brett. I'm sure you can think of lots of applicants who are memorable. You know, somebody may really bring significant global experience. They've worked abroad and maybe it's in a unique country, or maybe another applicant has worked in a unique industry that is not well represented in the class and they stand out for that reason. Whereas other people may stand out, academically, or maybe they have a lot of business analytics skills that would be valuable to their classmates. So there are some common themes. You know, at Darden, we really think it's important to demonstrate strong interpersonal and communication skills to be successful at Darden and in your business career, for example. And we do want people to be academically qualified, but the manner in which somebody can stand out in the application process can vary dramatically. It is a case method school. There's such a huge emphasis on class participation and learning from peers. So we want people to come with various perspectives, whether that is based on, a geographic area that they're from or an industry that they're coming from. So people, I really like the phrase, you know, people can shine for different reasons, and encourage applicants to do some reflection on, you know, what they're really proud of and what they want to emphasize as they're navigating the admissions process.
Yeah, that is a great point. And I always think about the sort of cultural piece of Darden, in that, you know, you're on a learning team where you're working in that small group to prepare for class. You got to be a great teammate, and then you got to go to class and you got to participate, right? And you're going to, some people are very natural in that setting and feel comfortable speaking up. And then other people, right, that's a growth opportunity for them, and they'll be stretched in that way. And everybody's sort of, you know, open to learning. And so you got to be curious. You got to be someone who's passionate about learning. You got to want to be someone who wants to be an active participant in the educational experience. And that also is inclusive of student organization and impacting sort of extracurricular life of the school. Those sorts of things obviously are not typically captured in a standardized test score or even undergraduate GPA always.
Absolutely. I was talking to a second year who I really like recently, and an admitted student, and the admitted student asked the second year student, who was an undergraduate business major at McIntyre, did you really get any different skills that you didn't have before? And the second year talked so much about the additional skills that he's gained at Darden. And you're right, it varies from person to person, because some people may be really comfortable with public speaking. Other people are a little intimidated by that, but know that it would be the best thing for them to practice that in a safe environment. Some people have financial skills, some people don't, and their level of, you know, ramping up their finance skills is going to go, you know, exponentially higher. But it is a case method school, so candidates' ability to look at a lot of different information and digest it and make a decision without 100% complete information is an important skill set too, to, go through over 500 cases and ask yourself, you know, what would I do in this situation, and begin to, you know, begin framework of how you would go about analyzing a situation and how to navigate it.
It's interesting talking with our career colleagues about the implications that has for students' performance in their internships, and obviously once they get to their jobs. They're used to participating and collaborating and working with groups of people on ambiguous problems and all these kinds of things that have direct relevance to career performance. And of course, when you start managing and leading teams and working with others, that social element of the Darden experience really particularly comes through.
Right. Couldn't agree more.
So let's talk a little bit more about some of the updates to the full-time MBA admissions process for round three. One of the things that you referenced earlier is flexibility for recommenders and around recommendations. Do you want to talk a little bit more about what that might look like from the applicants?
Sure. Sector? Yeah, I'm so glad you asked about that. I think some applicants that we've heard from have said, look, everybody around the world is being affected by this pandemic, and including people who are writing a recommendation. And so, again, we want to offer sensitivity to recommenders who are, in some cases, you know, navigating holding down their jobs from home and maybe families, and writing recommendations for our applicants. So we want to be flexible in this regard. We do require two recommendations, but you can apply, say, by April 6th. Say most of your application is done, but maybe one of your recommenders needs a little extra time, or maybe both of them need a little extra time. You can go ahead and submit your application. We'll start the review process. Wait for those recommendations to come in. We tend to send a reminder to recommenders if an application is incomplete. But again, it's just a way of us trying to be flexible with the coronavirus situation, and knowing not only prospective students and applicants are going to be affected, but recommenders maybe as well. So we'll be a little less rigid in terms of, you know, they have to be here on a specific date and offer more flexibility.
All great points. I do want to quickly mention our application tips section on the Discover Darden blog for full-time MBA applicants. Some really good tips for recommendations there. One of the tips that we share is to stay in touch with your recommender, particularly maybe so during this time, given that people's schedules are really up in the air and kids are home and all this kind of stuff and this disruption that people are experiencing. Make sure that they receive the recommendation materials. Make sure they have a copy of your resume. It's generally advisable as they work on their recommendation. It's worth noting that our recommendation is electronic, and it consists of a ratings grid and really three basic questions. How do you know the applicant? How's the applicant compared to his or her peers? And what's one piece of feedback you shared with the applicant? So, you know, keep that in mind as you manage the recommendation process. But to Donna's point, lots of great flexibility on our end. And speaking of that, I do want to return to a point that you made earlier, because this is again another example of sort of a different way that we're managing the process for round three in light of everything that's going on in the world. Even if someone's missing one or two elements or parts of their application, go ahead and submit the application, and we will begin moving the application through for at least an initial interview invitation. I do want to talk about that a little bit more. Is, you know, anything that you want to highlight for students as they think about that?
Sure. I think we'll know that we wish you could come and visit Darden and have interviews on grounds, but for round three, the plan is to conduct them by Zoom to continue to practice social distancing. But we do look forward to having you visit another time when it's safe to visit. I think if the majority of your application is submitted and it's just maybe a one or two pieces that are missing, we can at least move forward and invite some applicants for an interview invitation, and get that component done as well. It's a great opportunity for us to learn more about your background, you know, from you, you know, via Zoom, and for us to answer any unanswered questions about Darden. So again, we're just trying to offer as much flexibility and work with applicants. If you want us to hold your application until something comes in, you can let us know that as well.
Yeah, and I think the thing that, as I was reading through this part of the announcement, sort of thinking about it, I think, you know, obviously for an applicant sitting at home listening to this podcast, you know, the one thing to keep in mind is sort of when we say application, what we mean is all the information you share, the short answer questions, transcripts, resume, and obviously there are parts of that application that have some data. Like, for example, if you haven't had a chance to take a standardized test, you know, obviously we talked a lot about flexibility around that. You'll input your recommenders. But I guess the most likely scenario, sort of one that came to mind, is if someone has finished really the core of their application, but they're missing a recommendation or haven't had a chance to take a standardized test, that person, you would really encourage that person to go ahead and submit their application, I'm guessing.
I would, because at least we can begin to review it and move it through the process and make a decision about an interview, and then no final decision would be made until all the elements of the application are complete. But again, at this time when things, you know, situation in the world, in our country, at UVA, it's, you know, changing, and we're just really trying to be accommodating to applicants who are trying to do a lot from home and maybe making a big pivot from the workforce into business school.
Absolutely. So we want to underscore some next steps. But before we get there, Donna, given all your expertise and your deep admissions experience, any tips that you want to share for people who are thinking about round three as they think about putting their best foot forward and really putting together a strong application?
I would say just in general, just at a, you know, really high level, if we go into a recession and if companies do have some to pull back on the workforce, historically, this is a time when a lot of people do seek an MBA, kind of maybe a nice time to be out of the job market for 2 years and work on those skills that over your lifetime will really enhance your trajectory. And our career services office is excellent. As you research Darden, definitely research the extent to which they've been really successful with their placement rate and average salaries and the diversity of industries that they've been able to place students into. So now may be a really great time to get an MBA. On a more granular level, Just know, you know, our team is comprised of real professionals who love meeting applicants and love Darden, and we're here to be helpful. As Brett mentioned earlier, we have opened up space for people to have one-on-one 30-minute conversations with members of our team. You may have unique circumstances or questions for us that we can be helpful with. So we just opened up some spaces for those. So I would definitely take advantage of the schedule an MBA conversation with one of us and let us know how we can be helpful to you.
No, that's great. And the conversations are, you know, we answer all sorts of questions. We get questions about the program. We get questions about the application process, you know, so really nitty gritty detailed questions. I get a lot of sort of what differentiates Darden from other schools. I'm trying to think about all the different things I've been asked about. But and we always typically recommend some next steps. And obviously, you already scheduled a conversation. I would encourage you to join us for one of our upcoming webinars. You know, we'll be doing more online events since we've had to put a pause on in-person events. So keep an eye on our online event webinar offerings. And of course, you know, you've already found your way to the podcast, but the blog is out there too. We do try to be really transparent, I think, as a team, Donna. I mean, this interview is one example of that. But I think we want candidates to have as much information as they can about the process so they can really put together a strong application.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why, you know, we do video tips. Brett does the podcast. Lots of, you know, good information on our website. We do want to be as transparent and helpful as we, you know, possibly can. I'll also know it's an exciting time for you. If for those of you who are thinking about an MBA, it's such a great investment in yourself, and try as best you can to really take some time to reflect on what you're most proud of that you want us know about your background. And we really thoroughly enjoy reading your essays and love the interviews. And I've been really enjoying the round three one-on-one schedule conversation meetings I've had via Zoom this week. So we're here to be helpful, and don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned your application tips video series, 9-10 videos. Where you detail different parts of the application and share your best advice for people as they work on their short answer questions and work on their resume. I particularly found the resume guidance super helpful, particularly around, you know, how you can demonstrate personality and highlight global experiences that you've had. So check those out too. They're out there on YouTube. Donna did a great job. And we even have a couple of videos about the interview process. If you get invited to interview, be sure to check those out too.
Great. Good. Yeah. I would love for people to look at them, and hopefully they're helpful.
Absolutely. And, you know, so hopefully the other thing if you're finding yourself listening to this podcast and thinking about round three and you think, gosh, that's a short runway here, obviously though, it's a little bit longer than a typical year going from April 6th to July 15th. There's so many ways to do research. So, you know, we've talked about scheduling a conversation and connecting a member of our team, podcast, YouTube, the Discover Darden blog. Also encourage you to reach out to current students too. So we have student ambassadors that are listed on the website. Also clubs and organizations. Take a look at those lists. Reach out to organization leaders of clubs that are of interest to you. Our students are fantastic, and I think most of them will tell you they likely ended up at Darden because of an interaction they had with a current student and or an alum. And they, even though they're very busy, still very generous with their time and happy to share their experience. So, Donna, before we sign off here, any last words of advice or encouragement for our listeners?
Sure, yeah, Brett. Something you just said jogged my memory, and that is one thing that I tell applicants all the time is the application itself, I don't think, is particularly intimidating. It's keep in mind that a lot of your hard work is already done. You know, people have gone to college and they've studied hard, and maybe they were an athlete or maybe they were in student government. Those things are things that you've already accomplished. We look at your work experience, but that's already accomplished. The application is just a way to document what's already been done. So keep in mind, you know, 90% of the hard work is behind you once you actually sit down and complete the application. It's just a matter of making some choices. You know, what do I want my learning team to know about me? And there's probably, you know, lots of interesting things all of you can say, and you just have to prioritize what, you know, how you want to go about answering those questions. But we intentionally went with more short answer questions this past year so that we could get to know a little bit about various elements of your background. But just keep in mind, once you actually sit down and complete the application, a lot of the hard work is already done.
Absolutely. A great point. And of course, the one thing I'd like to say is if you have a question about anything, please reach out. You know, as you're working on your application or you're wondering, should I go ahead and submit? I'm waiting on this, that, or the other thing. Hopefully the other thing that you sort of piece together as you listen to this podcast is we are here as a resource. Our general inbox is darden@virginia.edu, which is, I think, pretty easy to remember. So Donna, thank you so much. I know it's been obviously a really busy couple of weeks here in admissions. Obviously really exciting news for people who are thinking about round three. So thank you for all that you're doing, and I appreciate your
taking time. Thank you, Brett. Yeah, I enjoyed it, and looking forward to reading these applications in round three. And thank you, Brett, for the opportunity to do the podcast with you. I always enjoy working on projects with you.
Absolutely. It's great talking with you, and to all our round three applicant listeners, good luck as you finalize your application.
Absolutely. Good luck. Can't wait to read your applications.
And that was my conversation with Donna Clark, Executive Director of Admissions here at the Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, @virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening and be well.